Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 16, we were taught that the Lord is the only counselor we will ever need. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
For the Bible stands.
Years ago, a man wanted to have me sent to a counselor. My answer was very interesting indeed, probably, to him. I said, man, I'm going to counseling every day for about an hour. He had no idea I was going to counseling every day for an hour until I shared with him this verse, "Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors." I said, I felt that since Jesus Christ is called the counselor, and you couldn't beat him as a counselor, so I just thought I'd get my counsel from him. For some reason or another, this man thought I needed a religious counselor that didn't even have the same doctrine. Well, here we are years later, and God still has this crazy preacher here in his place. Good friends, the best friends, are friends who use scriptures to instruct you and to help you. Seek God's word. Let it be your counselor. If I counsel anybody without the word of God and things work out for them, they're going to say, oh, what a great thing, but understand, what works out for them may be momentary, and in the long run, it's worse. As a pastor, the counsel I give must be the counsel of the Lord. He has the answers, not me. All I am is his messenger to relate his word to you. Well, we see the plague refreshed Saul and made him well. But this gave Saul relief. The relief was only temporary. Well, why is that? Because he didn't continue walking with the Lord as he ought. Now, some people get relief over drugs, alcohol, depression, and so forth through yoga, through transcendental meditation, and all this Eastern junk that they're doing now, contemplative thought, contemplative religion, contemplative prayer. Empty your mind. Let it be blank, and let whatever happens get you in touch with that other being. My friend, that is straight out of hell. That is of the devil, and people caught up in that are totally deceived and do not know it. You're not deceived if you know it. So they're deceived, but they don't know it, you see. And so the word of God is your counsel. They have perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, the Bible tells us. So keep your mind on Christ. The work of righteousness, that is obedience to the word of God, shall be peace. Speaking of peace in the heart, what David does is temporary help for Saul. That evil spirit could and would come back, just like the devil would come back after Christ later, after he lost the battle in the wilderness against Jesus. He still comes back. We can be a blessing, and someone can be a blessing to us. But understand, the benefits may only be temporal. In Genesis chapter 27, verse 29, we read this: "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." Of course, we see as the blessing is passed from Abraham to Isaac and now to Jacob. In Numbers 24, Jacob is Israel, by the way, he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Oh, that's true, and we're not going to go into that, but that's still true today. God blesses those that bless Israel, and he curses those that curse Israel. But when you bless the right people, it becomes a blessing to you. But still, without Saul repenting and turning back to righteousness, Saul's relief is only going to be temporal. There comes a point when God gives up. In verse 1 of this chapter, it said, "The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" Now, that's pretty straightforward, is it not? I mean, he says, how long am I going to sit around and be this way? In chapter 15, verse 10 and 11, he said, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel that he cried unto the Lord all night." Now, Samuel is grieved because he loves King Saul. You know, if you're a godly person, you love people. You love their souls. You want them to get saved. You want them to be right. But God says plainly two things about King Saul. He had quit following him. That is, he didn't walk in the word, didn't meditate on his word, and he didn't perform the commandments. He didn't obey what God commanded him to do. So he wasn't meditating, walking with God, nor was he obedient to God. And that's what we see in verse 23. "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and well, and the evil spirit departed from him." And that makes me ask the question, what is your sin? What is that thing that does so easily beset you? My friend, get it right with God. There may come a point when he gives up. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Lord's desire. But, he says in verse 10, "the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." There comes a point where God's long-suffering is exhausted and he gives up on you. Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." You may have a parent, a child, a friend who is praying for you, and God may have to one day say to them, "Stop, or I won't do it anymore." Oh, my friend, don't cross the line in which God says, "That's it." And if you're without Christ, the next step is hell. And yet he'll save if you'll come to him. He says, "Him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out," in John 6:37. If you're still breathing, there's still hope if you'll come to Jesus. My friend, won't you come to him? Why not right now, right where you are, admit, "I am a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes me, and that includes you, my friend. Admit, "I am a sinner." Be willing to turn from sin. That's what the word repent has in it. It's realizing I cannot save myself. I cannot stop my sin. I cannot overcome my sin. Acts 17:30 says, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world." And so repenting is turning to Christ instead of you trying to do it. You turn to him and say, "Lord, take my sin away." And if you really desire that, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you'll be a new creature in Christ, and the old things will be passed away, and behold, all things will become new. Now, if you're not wanting the Lord to take your sin away, then he won't save you. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding his blood for you, for every sin you ever have or ever will commit, and that 3 days later he rose up from the dead. For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ being put to his account, because he's putting his life, his trust totally in the hands of Jesus Christ. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, if you'll call upon him, been willing for him to cleanse you of your sin, to forgive you, and to give you everlasting life, he'll do it. We do that right now. Why not right where you are right now, bow your head with me and ask the Lord to save you? I'm going to form a prayer. The prayer that I form would only be words if you don't mean it. But if you do, then pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross and died for all my sin. Take my sin away. Cleanse me. Come into my heart and life right now. Make me thine. I give myself to you right now. Be my personal Savior. Save me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer, let us know. We'd like to hear either a letter or email or something, a postcard. Let us know you've asked the Lord to save you. If you don't have the internet, write us. Our announcer will give you our physical address here in a moment, and we'll send you the booklet, Building Blocks. However, if you are on the internet, you can go to our website and open our Building Blocks on the left-hand column there of our webpage right now. But wherever you can find Building Blocks, you can look it up. And our entire booklet, 10 chapters with questions and answers right there, all on your new life in Christ. Get in the Bible every day. You won't understand it. I've been saved many years now, my friend. I've gone on being saved for 57 years. And I'm still as a saved man for 57 years. I don't understand it all. And so I've got to ask God to teach me every day and give me his wisdom. Talk to God in prayer every day. Your next step is baptism. You say, well, I was baptized as a kid. No, baptism follows your salvation. It's a picture of what Christ did for you. He died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that's what baptism, being immersed in water, pictures. And then get in God's house. Go where they preach the word of God, where the music is heavenly music, not this worldly rock music. Go where they have a good King James Bible. Go where they preach the word. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Get them to go to church with you and grow in him. You say, what's a good church to go to where I live? Well, you look in your yellow pages under Baptist Independent Fundamental. Ask them the questions about which Bible they use and what kind of music they have. And when you find the right one, you be faithful. Tell the pastor the decision you've made and then follow up from there. Well, I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Please ask your friends to listen because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.